දේවල් තමයි. විශේෂයෙන් ළමයි ඉන්නවා නම් දෙමව්පිය පොඩ්ඩක් ළමයින් ඉස්සරහට එවන්න. මේ තේනතෙක් මානේ ඉන්නේ ඒකිය තමයි වඩා සුදුසු. මොකද මේ ඒකනේ දැත්තම අපි මෙතන ඇවිල්ලා තින්නේ. නැත්නම් මොනතරම් ඔන්ලයින් බලනවානේ කට්ටිය. අනිත් එක තමයි මොබයිල් ෆෝන්ස් එහෙම තියනවා නම් ඒවා සයිලන්ට් දාගන්න. මම දරුවන්ටත් මතක් කරන්නම් මේ ඉංග්‍රීසි භාෂාවෙන් නමුත් ඊට කලින් අපේ දෙමව්පියන්ව පොඩ්ඩක් මතක් කරගන්නත් ඕගොල්ලෝගේ දරුවන්ටත් ඉන්නවා නම් මේ අතේ මොබයිල් ෆෝන් එකක් එහෙම තියෙන පොඩ්ඩක් මොබයිල් ෆෝන්ස් ගේම් කරගන්න කියන මොකද නැත්නම් තවත් කෙනෙක්ගේ දහම් සමාධියට ඒක බාධාවක් වුණා. ඒක සුදුසු නැහැ. අනිත් එක තමයි මේ රෙකෝඩ් කරගන්න ප්‍රශ්නයක් නැහැ ඕඩියෝ රෙකෝඩින්. වීඩියෝ කරන්න අවශ්‍ය නම් අරකට හරවල් කරගතරන් නැති. ශාස්ත්‍රීය මහන්සියගේ ධර්මය මෙතන කතා වෙන්නේ ඒ නිසා මේ කියන කෙනා වැඩකට නැහැ. කියන්නේ මොකද්ද කියන එකට විතරක් තමන්ගේ අවධානය යොමු කරා නම් ප්‍රමාණවත්. So for the children here, I think it's quite usual these days to have a mobile phone in your hand or in your pockets. Please may I ask you to either switch it to silent or switch it off while you're here. If you want to record what we're saying, then that's perfectly fine. Just do an audio recording. Please don't take pictures of the Deshikadama or do any video recordings, because there's no need for that. All you need to take today is what is being said, and all you need is your ears for that. You could be blind, and that's perfectly fine. All you need is to listen, understand what we're saying, and then put it into practice. And that should be your objective for today. If there are anyone outside, particularly children, can I please ask the parents in particular to send them in? Because it's really important that you can see me, or at least be in the vicinity, so you can hear this quite clearly. And please come forward, because today is for you. If there's anything you've done in the last however many years you've been alive, perhaps today might be the most important day of your time so far. And make sure you take the time to get the most out of today. We don't have a great deal of time. When we normally do this in the UK, parents bring their children and we start for about, you know, they say, okay, I'll come and collect them in about 1 hour, 1.5 hours. They'll turn up in about 1.5 hours and we're still talking. And then normally they leave about 2-3 hours later. Because once you start talking this Dhamma, it's very difficult to actually bring it to a conclusion. And that's the beauty of the Dhamma. It's nothing special about the person that's preaching it. It's the beauty of the Dhamma. It's the grace that is of your Lord Buddha. Okay? So please pay attention. Do not let anything else distract you. Even if a bomb goes off outside, that shouldn't be your concern for today. Even if you hear someone start to cry or whatever, doesn't matter. Don't pay attention to that. Make sure you get the most out of today. And I promise you that when you leave a different person. You look the same. I can't do anything about how you look. Okay? But hopefully you will leave having gained something into your lives. So I need you to ask yourself a really important question. What is your purpose for today? Ask yourself that question. What is your purpose for today? I have a purpose, but what is your purpose? Now, I can see obviously there are children of varying ages here. What's the youngest we have in the audience? Anyone 6 or younger? Put your hand up for me. Okay, 5? Are you 5 years of age? 5? 4? Okay. And what's the oldest we have? I'm not talking about parents. 16 and above? Anyone 16 and above? Okay, 17 and above? 18? 20? Okay, 25? 24? Okay, so 20s.
Okay, so my task today then is to try and give you something when we have an audience of children in the ages between 4 and 5 and 20. That's not going to be easy, but that's okay. Because hopefully what you will feel at the end of this is that anything I have said with you in mind and nobody else. And that's what, that is again, that's a miracle of the Dhamma, nothing to do with me. Okay? So, what is your purpose for today? That's the question I asked you to ask yourselves. What are you here to achieve? Okay? Good. What do you want to learn? Okay? What is your purpose here today? Anyone else?
To learn about Buddha Sadhu.
Okay. To learn about Buddha Sadhu. Very good. So I have, and that's really good. You will learn about the Lord Buddha, Buddha Sadhu. And you will learn about, you will learn to look at life, your own life, in a different way, in a different perspective. Okay? Now, this is what I want you to do. And I'll tell you what my purpose is in just a moment. This is what I want you to do. When we talk about, in the next few hours, as we talk about whatever we talk about, think about how do you relate what we talk about to your experience in life. You know, who's the expert of your life? Okay, let's put it this way. You go to school, you sit in a classroom, and you learn various subjects, science. Okay? If I came and asked you, while the teacher's in the class, and they're teaching science or maths, and I asked you, who's the expert in science? What would you say? What would your answer be? You'd point at the teacher, wouldn't you? That's the expert. So you learn from the expert. That is the teacher. What about your own life? Who's the expert of your own life? Your own life story and your own life experiences? Exactly. You. You are the expert of your own life. So all I can give you is a perspective. It's a way of looking at things. But you need to apply that into your own lives. Because I don't know what your experiences are. I don't know where you've come from, whether you have brothers and sisters, what sort of family background you come from. I'm not the expert in that, you are. So all I can do is give you a way to look at life and then to apply that is met with each and every one of you. So what is my purpose for today? I have three things. I have a duty, I have a responsibility, and I have a favor to give. I have a duty towards Shastrun Mahansi. Why do I call him Shastrun Mahansi? Have you heard that word before? So Shastra is a doctrine or a philosophy in Sinhalese. Now I know this is going to be a little bit challenging for you, particularly if you are not well versed in the Sinhala language, and that's perfectly fine because this is why we do this Deshana in English, to try and help you understand some of the things that you might have heard in the temple or your parents speaking about. Or other sadhus talking about in Sinhala, you know, oftentimes your challenge will be, I'm sat there, I'm listening to everything that's said, but I don't get a word of it. And I know how frustrating that can be. So hopefully today I'll help you to cross that bridge, to help you to understand some of the things that are normally talked about in Sinhalese, in English. However. I will use some Sinhala words. This is because sometimes to convey the meaning, it's really difficult to do it in English. I'll give you the Sinhala words so that one day you may refer back to it. I'll give you the English word as best I can. It's not going to be a direct translation. I mean, I've been trying to do this for about 2 years now. You know, we do similar programs with children of your age in England. And I've been trying to find words in English that give the same meaning as the word in Sinhalese or in Pali. And every time I come up with a word, it never conveys the same meaning. So
because of that, I'm gonna give you the English term, and I'm also gonna give you the Sinhala term, so that in future you can make reference to it. Okay, and when you hear your parents talk about it, or Hamdru talk about it in the temple, you'll be able to make that link. Okay, so Shastra Mahanse, so Shastraya is philosophy, okay, or a doctrine. For example, a doctor, I'm not talking about a medical doctor, I'm talking about a doctor who has, you know, there are doctors in various fields, doctor in philosophy, doctor in biology, doctor in geography. In Sinhalese, the word for that is Shastrapati. So Shastra is doctrine, doctrine, okay? So this is my doctor, essentially, my Shastrapati, Shastra Mahanse. Because I am now a student, a lifelong student of the doctrine that he has given me. And from the moment I understood what his message was, there's never been another teacher for me. I mean, I still learn things from various people, but in terms of what do I need to do to end this painful experience that is samsara, I will not find another teacher. Because the path for me is crystal clear. I may doubt whether the sun might rise tomorrow, but I do not doubt that this is the teacher who's teaching that will take me to the end of samsara. And you'll see why in a moment. So I have a duty towards my Shastra Mahanse, because there was no stone that he left unturned. There was no effort that he didn't go to give me this Dhamma. When he preached the Dhamma, it was not to the people that were sat in front of him. It was for me. I may have not been there in front of him that day, but everything he did for me. Not you, for me. And why do I say that? It's because I want all of you to feel that way. Anything that Shastra Mahanse did, he said for you. Or for me, it's for me. And that's how I want you all to feel. I have a duty towards him. I have a responsibility. I have a responsibility to your parents. I think I arrived in... This is Melbourne, right? Yeah. I arrived in Melbourne yesterday or the day before? Day before. And I was amazed to hear how much effort, how much pain, how much grief your parents went through to organize this. To bring us here and to give you this opportunity. I was absolutely amazed. It's because they have listened to this Dhamma and they have experienced that there is something new here. There is something here for them to take. And some of them want to take the next step. And I'll tell you what that next step is. But they want to take that next step. However, for some of them, there's a barrier. And that barrier is that their most priceless possession, or that is you. That barrier is because sometimes there are things that you don't quite understand yet when it comes to Dhamma. So when they come and talk to you and say, Pute or Dwe, I want to do this, I want to take that next step. Sometimes they might get questions from you. Tati, what do you mean? Rami, what do you mean? How can you leave me and go like that? And I have a responsibility towards them. And I want to try and fulfill that responsibility. And I can only do that if you understand what we're talking about for yourself. And therein comes the third bit. The favor. I am doing a favor for you. This is a favor because what you take from today is not for me. You know, I've come here, I'm going to spend the next few days here and then I'll be gone. We probably never even meet again, ever. So what do I have to take from you? What is it that you can give me that I don't already have? Now, I have a well-established profession back in the UK, which I'm going to be leaving pretty soon, because I'm going to be taking that next step myself. Again, I'll tell you what that next step is, okay? You know, I've been to university, I've done all the things that you're probably thinking of doing in the next few years. I graduated with the first class at university. In fact, I won the best
best dissertation award from Her Majesty's Government and Communication Centre, which is a well-established institution in the UK. And the reason I'm telling you this is because I just want to share with you, there is nothing I'm expecting in return from you. This is why I'm doing you a favour. So I've got everything I need. What is left for me to take is what Shastra Mahansi has given me. And every day I take a little bit more from him. And this is why I have a duty to repay him. And the only way I can repay him, because he's not here with us today, is to do what he spent his entire lifetime doing, which is giving me what he realized for himself. Okay? However, so those are the three things those are my objectives for today. But for you, it'll be the same, but in reverse. What do I mean by that? You have a duty towards whom? Yourself. You have a duty towards yourself. This is not the first time you've been sat in front of a Deshakatuma, a preacher in English, to try and understand something. This is not the first time you would have done this, even in Sansara. You will have had previous births where you've tried to understand something. You know, what is this process of rebirth that the Lord Buddha talks about? Why does he call that? Why does he say it's full of suffering? And if it is, how do I end this process? This is not the first time you would have listened to this kind of talk. However, you know, you and I, we're still here. How much longer do we want to keep doing this? How many more times do you want to be sat in front of this audience, or you know, sat listening to somebody saying the same thing, and then still not do anything about it? How many times do you want to be in grade 4 or grade 5? How many years? If you're in grade 4, you know, think of whichever class you're in at the moment. If you're in grade 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, whichever class you're in. How many years do you want to spend there? If you're in grade 6, how many years do you want to spend in grade 6? Can't hear you. One. Okay? You only want to spend 1 year in that class, because as soon as you learn what you need to learn from there, you need to move on to the next class. Because if you spend a second year in there, people are going to be wondering, something's not right with that child. If you spend 2 years there, they're probably thinking, that's probably a special needs child. Or something really is not right, you know, what's wrong with them? Family background? Is it, you know, is it the fact that they're not going to a good school? Or is it, you know, what's wrong with them? And if you spend a few years there, people just stop talking about you, because it becomes embarrassing. Okay? You and I, we've all been in that boat. Shastra Mahansi attained Paranibbana 2,500 years ago. And I'm still here. I am still here. So clearly, I haven't done everything I could possibly do to follow him in his footsteps and complete this realization as he has done. So clearly, I haven't done everything I can. And I'm not prepared to make that same mistake again. I'm not prepared to do that. And neither should you. Okay? So you have a duty towards yourself. That is to make the most of today. Listen to what we're talking about. Pay no attention to anything else that's happening. You know, even if a phone goes off, don't worry about it. Let somebody else worry about it. Today, your concern is just what we're talking about. You have a responsibility. Who do you have a responsibility towards? You have a responsibility towards Shastra Mahansi. Because remember what I said at the start. The perfect one. He is a perfect one. He's gone through so much, and you know, as you learn about the Lord Buddha's life, hopefully you will begin to realize how much he's gone through. You know, when he attained Buddhahood under that Bodhi tree, you know, he had achieved everything he wanted to. That you know, there was nothing else for him to gain off of that. But then he spent 45 years of his life giving to you and me what he learned, what he realized. Why? Out of pure compassion. You know, in the face of all kinds of adversity, he fought all of that for whom? For him? What did he have to gain from that? Or he did all of that for you. So, and even from, you know, since his time, how do you think we still have this Dhamma? You know, the Buddha doesn't come every morning and preach Dhamma to us now. How do we still have the Dhamma that we talk about? Have you heard of the Tripitaka? Have you heard of the Bible? So you heard, almost all of us have heard of the Bible, but unfortunately not the Tripitaka. Very good. The Tripitaka, and you know, please go and speak to your parents about this at the end of this. You know, talk about what you learn here with your parents. The Tripitaka, or in English it's called the Three Canons. Canons because they're a set of books. So the Bible is one book. The Tripitaka, how many books do you think the Tripitaka is? Three volumes. But each volume has a number of books. Any guesses? 54. So if you think there's a lot of Dhamma in the Bible or in the Holy Quran, how much Dhamma do you think there is in the Tripitaka? You could stack them up just like you do the Encyclopedia Britannica. That's how much Dhamma my Shastra and Mahansa gave us. But you don't need to know all the Dhamma there is in the Tripitaka. I mean, I never would, not certainly in my lifetime. To gain the fruit that we need, we don't need that much. We need something that is really, 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 really simple. However, whatever that is really simple, we need to understand clearly, without any shadow of a doubt. And hopefully, I'm going to try and give you that today. So from you, I need absolute 100% attention, because you know, I need to fulfill my responsibility to your parents. And I need to fulfill my duty towards Shastri Mahasaya. You know, those two things I am bound to do. I have a responsibility and I have a duty. But a favor, I'll do it if I can and I won't if I can't. So remember, I have a favor to you, however, you have a duty towards yourself. Okay? This is why I try and emphasize that point. Okay. And I'm sure as we continue to talk about, you'll have some questions. And I'm going to try and leave some time at the end to take your questions, to try and help you unravel some of the doubts that you might have. Sorry. Okay. So, what do you think Buddhism is about? Mm-hmm. Very good. Any other answers? What do you think Buddhism is about? What do you think Shastri Mahansaya spent his entire life, certainly, you know, the first few years going through? I mean, if you've been to the Dhammapada, you know, surely you will have spent some time listening to and learning about the pain that he went through, especially when he left the castle. You know, where he starved himself, right? Where he gave as much pain and grief he could to himself to try and achieve Nirvana. But ultimately he realized, you know, this is not the way to go. But he went through all of that to try and, you know, come to some kind of understanding. What is that understanding? The truth of life, yeah? Any other answers? What do you think Buddhism is about? What do you think his philosophy is about?
It's about following the correct path.
Yeah, it's about following the correct path. And remember, I told you there are 54 books of the Tripitaka. However, have any of you heard of the names Sunita or Sopaka? Put your hands up if you have.
Sumita and Sopakar.
Okay, good. So we have a few people.
They were both aged 7 when they attained the state of Sotapanna. What is Sotapanna? Anyone know what Sotapanna is? Sotapanna is a state of mind. Okay? The Buddha comes to this world very infrequently. This gift to the universe, which is the arrival of a Buddha, or Sammasambuddha, happens once every few eons. Do you know what an eon is? It's a really, 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 really long time. When someone asked the Buddha, how long is a eon? He said, I could never give you an answer to that, which is that I can't give you an exact number. However, he says, I can give you a simile, an example. He said, if you take a container, and I'm going to try and simplify this. If you take a container that is 16 yards long, 16 yards wide, 16 yards deep. Just imagine it was a kilometer, keep it simple, right? A kilometer wide, deep, and length, width, and height. And you filled it with mustard seeds. You've seen mustard seeds? How big is a mustard seed? That big? That big? That big? How big is a mustard seed? It's tiny, isn't it? A mustard seed is tiny. Okay? If you fill that container with mustard seeds, and you've then removed one seed of mustard every 100 years. Every 100 years, you remove one seed. Okay? So, that might probably be longer than your lifetime. Anyone here wishing to live up until they're 100? Anyone here? Oh, good. Great. That's good. A life is measured not in... The value of life is not measured in the number of years you live. However, the service that you can deliver to the world. But to do that, you need to have done service to yourself. Okay? So, if you remove a mustard seed, one mustard seed every 100 years, an eon will pass away. You'll have removed all of the mustard seeds, but the eon, a eon will still be left. There'll still be time left in the eon to complete. Now, a Buddha comes into this universe, into this world, after about 4,000, 5,000 of these eons. One Sammasambuddha. Now, we've been fortunate that actually in this, what they call a Bhadra Kalpa, I'm still looking for the English term for that, so don't worry about it. It's a really, really long time. We've had 5 Sammasambuddha, or we've had 4. Gautama Sammasambuddha Dhanan Mahanse was the number 4. There is a number 5 who will come along. But in a very long time. I mean, you've told me 100 years is more than your lifespan. Okay? So, the point I'm trying to make is, do not wait until he comes along. Because the thing is, even if he comes along, he's going to teach you the same thing. He's going to say exactly the same as what our Shastra once taught us. So it's not going to be any different. So why wait then? Okay? So we said, what is Buddhism then? So Buddhism, we had to read some really good answers. The Buddha comes into this world to deliver a message. And that message is, this existence, there's a problem with this existence. There's a problem. And the problem is that we all live a life expecting to be happy, to be satisfied. However, we keep looking for happiness and satisfaction in places that they don't exist. This is why we're always looking for it. Think about your parents. I'm not certainly thinking of mine. My mother still asks me, I said I was preparing to take the next step, and the next step is actually to become a monk. But my mother still asks me, Pute, why do you want to do it so soon? I mean, you've been to university, you've had a good life, you know, you've had a good education, you've got a good job. Why do you want to do it so soon? You know, wait until you're a bit older. You've had one or two kids. And then do it. And then I ask them a question in return. So I ask them, okay, so my mother is now 60, yes. My father is 65, and they're both in the same boat. So they both ask me this question. And I tell them, okay, so all of these things that you are asking me to do now, you've done them, right? Yeah, so they've got married, had kids, had good jobs, etc., etc. So are you happy now? Are you fulfilled? Are you happy with your life as it is? Is there anything that still bothers you? Anything that you think is still not satisfying? And they say, well, yeah, there's plenty of it. There's lots of it. So then I ask them, okay, so if you've tried a certain system, a certain way of living life, I give them an example. I say, right, if I saw fire for the first time, imagine there was a candle, and there's, you know, it's a candle that's lit, and I'm seeing it as a child for the first time. I walk towards it, and I try to touch it. What do you think my mother would do? Exactly. She would stop me, right? She would pull me away from it. Why? Exactly. To stop me from getting burned, to stop me from getting hurt. So if she thinks that's going to hurt me, then surely she, and this is what she's doing, she's stopping me from getting hurt. So, you know, and clearly she would have burnt her fingers in the past, either while she was cooking, or lighting a candle, or, you know, a matchstick or whatever the case might be. She would have hurt herself, and now she wants to stop me from going through that and experiencing the same pain. This is what parents do. This is what your parents would do. Why do they try and give you a good education? Why do they try and send you to the best school that they can afford and the best school that they can get you into? Why do they try and, you know, make sure that you associate with the right people, with the right friends, and keep your distance from people that they think you shouldn't be? It's because they want you to have the best of whatever they can afford. My parents are no different. So if they would do that for something as simple as me going and touching a candle or fire, getting my fingers burned, and they've experienced a way of living life for 65 years and they're still not happy with it, I ask my mother, why do you want me to try the same thing? You've lived 65 years of your life. Your parents have done similar. Their parents have done the same. Why do you want me to do the same thing? Have you already not made a mistake and learned from it? Isn't your duty, your responsibility to stop me from making the same mistake? Unfortunately, they don't have an answer to that question. Not yet, anyway. And so I tell them, well, thanks to my Shastra Mohanse, I have found a way to remain happy when everything around me falls apart. When the whole world is against me, when people come and shout at me. I mean, believe you me, before I came across this Dhamma, I was, you know, I didn't want people to come and shout at me. None of us do. We want people to talk to us nicely. We want people to be kind to us. But now I'm quite the opposite. Every day I look for people to come and say bad things to me, be nasty to me, to shout at me, to find faults with me. Why? Because they're all my teachers. What do I mean by that? A teacher is someone who tells you that you've got a problem somewhere and then help you fix it, right? Isn't that what a teacher does? Isn't that what your teachers do? When you're in the class, you do your homework, you make a mistake somewhere with something, and then tell you that's not how you should have done, you know, do it like this. Now, the teachers that I come across, these people that I talk about, you know, people who aren't, you know, shout at me or be nasty to me, they can't necessarily tell me what I need to do, but that's what Shastra Mahansa did for me. However, they give me experiences in life to apply what I've learned from Shastra Mahansa. That's the lab, that's the laboratory where I practice what I've learned. And hopefully you will be able to do the same. You know, think about when your friends, you know, take something that you really liked and they don't give it back to you. What does that do to you?
Makes you sad.
Makes you sad, exactly. What about if your friend calls you a name that you don't like? How does that make you feel? Angry. So, but what if someone gives you something that you like? Say, you know, for your birthday, they give you a present. How does that make you feel?
Happy.
So, but this is the thing. Our happiness and sorrow, or happiness and sadness, depends on what other people do to us. So my happiness and how I feel internally is a function, or is dependent on how people treat me. Right? And how the world around me behaves. How people talk to me, how people do things to me, whether they're nice to me, whether they're bad to me. Something's wrong with that. Why is my happiness dependent on other people? Why can't I be happy when everyone and everything around me works against me? Why is that dependency there? So there's a problem there. This is the problem that I talk to my parents about. So I tell them, you know, your happiness is very much dependent on how your friends, your relatives, your children treat you. I mean, today, you know, when I tell my mother, "Mother, I want to go become a monk," she becomes sad. But she's lived 65 years of her, or 60 years of her life, trying to look for nothing but happiness. And yet today she fails. So if 65 years of practice and study isn't working for her, surely she shouldn't ask me to do the same thing. And this is why I tell her, I found a different way. I found a way to remain happy even when everyone around me is nasty to me, is bad to me, doesn't talk nicely to me. How would you feel if you were able to do that? How would you feel if, when you went to school or you're with friends, someone takes something that doesn't belong to you and you don't feel hurt about it? How would you feel about that?
Happy.
Exactly. So you would always be happy. You know, this is what we all try to do, right? Why do you go to school? Why do you go to school?
To learn.
Why do you learn? What do you learn?
You can sustain a life.
Mm-hmm. Why do you do that? How do you sustain a life?
By getting money,
yeah. This is what your parents are doing. So you know, you don't need to think far. You know, there's not much you need to think before you can find some answers to some of these questions. To earn money. Why do you need to earn money? Mm-hmm.
Buy food.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so to buy food, to buy the things you need, clothes, things like that, right? Why do you need that?
To survive.
To survive, yeah? And to be happy, generally, right? So you do all of these things so you can live a happy life. So if you need to do all of these things to be happy, you know, wake up at whatever time you wake up in the morning. What time do you wake up in the morning to get to school? Six? Okay, well, trust me, and you can check this with your parents. If you wake up at 6, they probably wake up at 4. They probably wake up at 4 to make sure you are up at 6.
because they have to keep waking up. Come on, come on, Pita, wake up. You know, your school bus is here. Get ready, you know, start getting ready. And also, you know, they need to cook for you. They need to cook for themselves. They need to take, you know, do all of the, you know, clean the house, all of these things. Remember, all of this is coming for you. So if you think you can wake up at 6 today, ain't going to happen for long. All the things that they're doing today, watch, because watch and learn, because you're going to have to do that, all of those things, to sustain yourselves. And your children, if you end up having children. All of the pain that they need to go through, you know, I mean, you will have heard, you will have listened to your parents at home talk about, you know, I've got this bill that I need to pay, a credit card bill or a tax bill or a, you know, water bill or electricity bill. How do we pay this? You know, mother and father talking about it at home. And I encourage parents to, you know, bring children in when you talk about these at home. So your children can learn from your experiences so that they don't have to make the same mistakes that you did. You know, we take on ourselves, because this is the only method we've ever known. You're born, they raise you to an age where you can start school, you go and learn at school, you go for tuition classes. How many of you go to tuition classes? I mean, I'm listening to some of the people I've been talking with, apparently tuition is a big thing in Australia. Apparently. So, you know, you need to do all of that. Why? So you can try and have a good life. You know, do you enjoy waking up at 6 in the morning? Who prepares your food at the moment? You say your parents. For how long do you think they're going to keep preparing your food? If your mother or father has said that to you today, you're very fortunate. The thing is, our parents aren't going to be with us forever. As much as our parents love us and they will do anything they can for us, and I mean anything and absolutely everything. You know, I talk to some parents and some, they commit sins. They commit sins so that their children can have good and happy lives. This reminds me of the responsibility I have towards your parents. They would commit sins. And a mother I was talking to tells me that when my son, and this is in Australia, so probably someone you already know. Okay? She tells me when my son was a young child, and you have ants and insects in Australia. We don't get a lot of them in England. Some reason, maybe it's just because they can't bear the cold. Ants around the house, she used to go and spray whatever the insecticide, you can call it that, you know, they would spray at the ants so the ants would die. Why? So, you know, your child isn't hurt. What are they doing? Are they committing a sin? Has the Buddha ever said that if you kill an animal, you can go to heaven? What has the Buddha said? Yeah. So the Buddha has clearly said, if you do bad things will happen to you. But your parents will still do that for you. But, and one day, if you end up being a parent, you're going to do the same. Unless you understand what I'm talking about today, and you take it in, and you process it. Because, are you prepared to go to hell? I encourage you, and you know, speak to your parents. You know, there's some really nice videos on YouTube. I don't think any of you are foreign to YouTube. Someone I came and said, apparently iPads are quite prevalent in Australia. It's become a bit of a problem because you're on your iPads all the time. So surely YouTube is something that you're not new to, right? Just type the word hell into YouTube. and watch some of those videos. Ask your parents to, you know, with your parents around, ask them to show you some of the things that would happen to you in hell. But your parents are willing to sacrifice that for you. See, I asked my mother, if they spent their entire lifetime, which is what they're doing, they spend their entire lifetime trying to accrue wealth, money, okay, whatever they think is of value, property, you know, houses and money and whatever, for their children, I, myself, how would they expect me to use that? They would expect me to be very careful with it, wouldn't they? Particularly if they've gone through a lot of pain and suffering to gather that, they would expect me to be very careful with that. But without being careful, if I just go and spend it, you know, on going out, clubbing, or, you know, drinking with friends, or, you know, just wasting money, how would that make them feel? If I just wasted everything they gave me, how would that make them feel?
Miserable.
Exactly. They would think how ungrateful you are. Now, the reason I say this is because wealth, i.e. money, okay, and property are things that you can see that they give you. But what about all the things that you don't see? What about all the hours that they put in to enrich your lives? What about all the hours that they spend, you know, sleepless nights that they spend to bring you up, to give you everything that they can do for you? I mean, after all, they brought you into this world. Do you think that was easy? You know, as you learn more about the world, you'll understand how much pain a mother goes through to bring a child into this world, how much pain a father goes through to bring a child into this world. But I'm not here to talk to you about, you know, treating your parents, because, you know, you will have heard plenty of that before. But what I'm going to hear, the reason I'm bringing this point up is because you have a debt of gratitude to them. And I told you about the money, the properties. You know, if you think you'd be very careful with that, how careful do you think you need to be with your life? Because that's the biggest, that's the greatest gift that they've given you. A life where, you know, you're fully formed. You know, you can understand what we talk about. You understand, you know, your eyes and ears, you know, all your organs are working fine, because, you know, they would have taken the pain to take medicines to make sure that, you know, they were ready to bring you into this world. Okay? So they've done all of this for you, to give you a life, a fully functioning, healthy life, and to keep you that way. You know, that's the biggest gift that they could afford to give you. How do you spend that life? If that's the biggest gift that they could give you, how do you spend that life? Do you spend that life in a way in which at the end of, you know, however long you live, whether that's until you are 30, who knows? Can anyone here guarantee that they're going to be alive tomorrow? Can you put your hand up and say, I'm absolutely sure I'm going to be alive tomorrow? No. So we don't know how long we're going to be alive for. So whether that's 30, whether that's 50, whether that's 80, if at the end of that time you've gained nothing out of this existence, I think that's the most atrocious thing you could do with the gift that your parents have gifted you. So remember, this life, particularly you, I mean, I can't imagine how fortunate and how gifted you guys are. When I was your age, I didn't get to hear any of this. So I spent my life trying to, you know, be the best I could at school, try and get the best grades I could, right? Try and get into a good university, try and get a good job, try and become a millionaire. You know, these were some of the goals I had in my life. Today, I mean, I've still got a book in which I've listed all the goals that I want to do. Every year I just write them down. I had financial goals, I had family and relationship goals, I had holiday goals. Goal setting is a really important skill if you want to survive in this life, in a lay life, right? So I had all of these goals, but then I now ask myself,
the day when I'm on my deathbed,
when I'm ready, and you know, in the next few minutes I'm going to be gone, what will I have gained? What's left for me to take with me? Absolutely nothing. So I spend my fortune, which is what my parents have given me, i.e. this life, and I do nothing with it. There's no bigger scandal than that. Okay? So, what I'm trying to help you understand is, this system that your parents have gone through and are going through, there's something wrong with it. There's something wrong with what my parents did in terms of the system that they followed, because they didn't know any different. However, when your parents listen to this Dhamma, the Dhamma that we talked about, they have come to an understanding. Okay, there's a different way in life. There's a different path to life. There's a different way that can bring us happiness no matter what happens. And they're now trying to take that journey. However, they have this barrier, which is, well, what's going to happen to you then? The apple of their eyes. So this is why you need to have some kind of understanding of what we talk about, so that you can then go to them and say, Ami Vatati, I understand why you are now looking to take this journey, and I'm going to be supportive of that, and I'm going to help you, and I'm, in fact, if possible, I'm going to come with you. But that only comes through understanding. So what is this understanding then that we talk about? This is the important bit. So pay attention. We live our lives thinking that happiness exists outside of us. We talked about this before. It's the friends that bring us happiness. It's the kind of food that we eat that brings us happiness. The presents we get that brings us happiness. So the thing is, when those things change, your happiness changes with that. How you feel changes with that. The reason I'm going to talk to you about this for the next few minutes is because all the things I said before about your parents, okay? I have one more thing actually I want to say at this point, because I think it's really, really important. I know for a fact that none of you yet, can put your hand up and say, my parents are not going to die because of me. You're probably thinking, what the hell are you talking about? Can you absolutely guarantee to me and put your hand up and say, my parents are never going to die because of me? I'm never going to kill my parents? Okay? So probably a few of you are thinking, no, yeah, I'm never going to do that. And your parents are probably thinking, my children are never going to do that to me, because I love them so much and they love me lots in return. Okay, fair enough. Have you never heard, particularly the parents, you know, when they read newspapers, see articles about how sometimes, you know, parents have been killed by their own children? These things happen. Unfortunately, this is the world that some of you sitting here may not have been exposed to yet. But these things happen. Children kill their parents. Doesn't happen a lot, but it does happen. But at least it doesn't get reported a lot, even if it does happen a lot. Okay? Could you even think of doing something like that to your parents? I mean, I don't need to tell you how your parents look after you. But the thing is this. So when your parents read that newspaper, okay, imagine you are your mother or you are your father. You know, if you are a boy, imagine you are your father. If you are a girl, imagine I am my mother. Okay? They read a newspaper or see on TV, a child has killed their mother or a child has killed their father. How do you think they feel about you? Because that mother or father that died, do you think they ever thought their child would kill them? When they brought them into this world, when they gave them birth, when they sent them to the best schools that they could afford to, when they gave them the best food that they could afford to, when they, you know, helped shape an entire life around them, the best, you know, whatever they could, when they committed those sins for their children, do you think they ever thought, my child is going to kill me someday? No, they would never, ever have thought about that. But then they see it on TV. Do you think they, you know, that doubt never comes into their mind?
What if this happens to me by my child? The problem is this. Shastra Nuhante has taught us that if you commit something, a sin such as killing your mother or father, with no question of a doubt, you go to hell. And it's not any kind of hell we're talking about. It's the worst kind of hell you can imagine. There are four sins that Shastra Mahansi talks about. If you commit any one of these four, you go to the worst kind of hell you can imagine. Killing your mother, killing your father, killing the Rahatan Mahansi, or hurting the Buddha. Now, fortunately, you can't hurt the Buddha. I mean, that's the downside. I mean, that's the good side of not having the Buddha around today. You can't hurt him. Killing a Rahatan Mahansi, you know, it's rare to find a Rahatan Mahansi these days. But they do exist. Believe you me, they do exist. Even to this day. But what about your parents? You know, you live with them every day. So you're living, you know, this life that you live with your parents every day. How do you know what might trigger? In the UK, I mean, in newspapers in the UK, at least two or three times a year, you see, you know, a boy has killed. I mean, even in Sri Lanka, a boy kills their mother just because, you know, they've had the mother has not allowed him to go and see his girlfriend. A boy pushes their mother into a train or something just because they've not, you know, they've not been given some money to go and get a gift for their girlfriend. What is the fate that they bring on themselves for something as silly as getting a gift for a girlfriend, going to that apayas? Now think about your parents. Your parents, you know, reading that newspaper article or watching on TV, how can they guarantee that this is not going to happen from my child? And if you are agreeing with me that they do everything they can for you, and they even commit sins for your benefit, can you at least not give them the guarantee, Ammi Tati, Mage Ating Ammai Tatai Marinakin? Ammi Tati, I am never going to kill you. You are never going to be murdered by me. Can you? They're not asking for much. All they're saying is, Duhe Pute, can you come to me and tell me, I am never going to die because of you. You are never going to kill me. For everything that I do for you. That's all I ask you. You don't have to look after me when I'm older. You don't have to give me money. You don't have to give me food. Just tell me, you're never going to kill me. Is that so much to ask for? But the problem is, Shastra Mahansi says, there's only one kind of person that Shastra Mahansi gives that guarantee to, and that is a Sotapanna. So then the question is, what is a Sotapanna? Shastra Mahansi says, a Sotapanna will never, ever, ever, ever commit that crime, commit that sin, which is to kill their mother or kill their father. So, from your parents' perspective, unless you are a Sotapanna, well, you can fill in the rest. They have no guarantee that they are not going to die from something that you do. So what do you need to do then to repay the gratitude that you have for them, or the debt that they do for you? To try and become a Sotapanna. Because that's the only way you can guarantee Ammi Tati Magyati Na Ammai Tati Merenne. Menako Mari Mere, Magyati Merenne. That's not a lot to ask for, is it? And to become a Sotapanna is not that difficult. Regardless of what you might have heard in the past from other Vaishana, it's not difficult to become a Sotapanna. And I'll tell you how you become one. I'll tell you now. But first I want you to understand why becoming a Sotapanna was so important. Because Shastra Mahan said, once you become a Sotapanna, you never go to hell. Never ever. Okay? And I remind you again, and parents particularly, when you get home, go on YouTube. You know, type Apaya or hell into YouTube and let your kids watch that. You know, show that to your children so they know what's coming. You know, I reminded you what's coming for you when you grow older and become parents and, you know, start to do jobs. How you have to get up at 4 in the morning. You know, right now you don't have to do night shifts, night duty. Your parents probably do that as well. Why? It's for you. You're probably going to have to do some of that as well. You know, pay your mortgages, pay loans, pay credit cards, pay bills. None of that is fun. Trust me, I've done it. None of that is fun. But when you have this existence, this survival, you have to do it. Okay? But anyway, coming back to the point I was making before. How do you then become a sotapanna? Okay, what is a sotapanna before you know how do you become a sotapanna? A sotapanna is someone that has understood or that has realized nibbana. Now there's a difference between realizing nibbana and achieving nibbana. They're two different things. What I'm telling you now is it's really easy to realize nibbana. It's difficult to achieve it. So how do you realize it? And you could realize it now, in the next few minutes. And it's just for that I'm going to spend the next few minutes talking to you about. Sunita and Sopaka were only 7 years of age when they realized nibbana. So if you are 7 years or over, there is no excuse. If you are under that age, I have no evidence to say that they have achieved. I mean, I haven't so far seen examples in the Tripitaka. So Tripitaka are the books in Buddhism, as we said at the start, that show, you know, young children under the age of 7 have achieved sotapanna. But that's only because I have no evidence. That's not to say you can't. Okay? So each and every one of you, make a firm determination. If there's nothing else I do today, I'm going to listen to what the Deshikutama is going to say for the next few minutes very attentively and try and achieve this state of sotapanna. Okay? Shastra Mohanse has taught us that there's a problem with this rebirth cycle. Why? Well, we just talked about it a few minutes ago. You're only children at the moment, but you have to you grow old, you become, you know, you become adults, parents, and then you have, you know, you don't need to go into the hells to see the suffering that you're going through at the moment. I mean, you know, ask your mother and father, Ammi Tati, Dang Vinima Dukha Ay Vinino Vigila Bodhahalaba? Just ask them, do you want to go through the pain that you're going through now again? I'm not going to give you the answer, you go and find the answer. Find the answer out from themselves. Okay? So that itself is dukkha, is suffering. But what about the hells? I mean, that's beyond comparison. You know, what about animals you see? That is a type of hell. Who here has pets at home? Dogs, cats, rabbits? Okay, what do you do when you have a headache? Or when you have a tummy ache, what do? Get medicine for it. And how do you do that? You go to the doctor. So you probably tell Ammi or Tati and, you know, say, Ammi Tati, Badavidana, and Ulvi Kakumai, can I have some paracetamol or can you take me to the doctor? What do you think your dog does? Or your rabbit, your pet hamster, whatever pets you have at home, pet kangaroos, you have kangaroos, pet kangaroos? Your pet can't speak. It's probably going to cry, and you're thinking it's hungry. You give it some food. It's still crying because it's got a headache. Can't even tell you what's wrong with it. That's the animal hell. But there are three other hells that you can't even see. There's a pereta loka. Okay, that's where you can't see these things, unfortunately, right now. But one day you will be able to, and that's when you develop your state of mind. You cultivate your state of mind where you can see the unseen worlds. The peretas. I mean, watch these things on YouTube. There's plenty of stuff in there. Obviously, they're not videos of peretas, but there'll be animations of it. But, you know, animations based on stories that people have told once they've seen them. And then there's the Nireya Lokas, where, okay, what's the hottest it's been in Australia in the time you've been around? 40, is that 40 I heard there? 40? 40 going once? 40? 45? No? 40? 40. Okay, go with 40. And how do you feel when it's 40 outside? Tired, exhausted, sweating, right? Thirsty. Now how would you feel if it were 3000 degrees centigrade? Exactly. Very good. The unfortunate problem is, when you are in those apayas, you don't die because of the heat. You just feel the experience. You just experience the pain. You don't die until you've expired all the bad karmas you've done to go into the apaya. Until all of that has expired, you don't leave the apaya loka. You're in apaya, in hell. But in 3000 degrees. Now if 40 is bad, trust me, you don't want to go there. But the problem is, I've been there. Not in this birth, I have been in the past. And I don't want to go back there. Shastra Mohanse says, this is what I'm saying, if you trust in Shastra Mohanse, he's telling you what he's seen from his samadhi. Okay? If you trust in him, then this just going back to your parents. Your mother said, don't touch the fire because it's going to hurt you. Your response could have been, I'm not going to trust what you're saying, I'm going to go touch it and experience it for myself. You can try that. So if you want, you can go into the apaya, experience that, and then come back out. Whenever that happens. In apayas, your lifespan, I think someone said they want to live up to 100, if you're lucky. But in apayas, these are many thousands and thousands and thousands of years. So imagine 3000 degrees for that long a time. Even if you die, you're reborn again in the apaya. And they don't let you be, they don't let you just be there. Watch these videos and you die. Remind you again. Okay? I have been there and I don't want to go back there. This is why Shastra Mohanse comes into this world. To teach us the way to stop going into the apayas. Because of the compassion that he has. I told you, under the Bodhi tree he realized enlightenment. He could have just, that's it, I'm done. You worry about yourself, I'm not worried about you. But no. He went through samsara because of the compassion that he had towards us. To try and give us this dhamma. Okay? So a sotapanna, Shastra Mohanse says, is someone who never goes into apaya. So it should be your duty to yourself to try and become a sotapanna. What you need to understand to become a sotapanna is the reality of this life. I think someone said when I asked the question earlier, what do you want to get out of today? And they said it was about the nature of life or something similar. Shastra Mohanse says, whatever you see around you, including yourself, is anicchai, dukkai, anattai. What does this mean? So these are Pali terms. I'll try and explain them in English. Have you heard of the expression cause and effect? Cause and effect? Causal origination? Paticchasamuppada? Okay, you might have learned some of these concepts at Dhammapasana if you go to Dhammapasana. Cause and effect. This is the essence of Buddhism. Cause and effect. Okay, let's do an experiment. Everyone likes an experiment. I want all of you to think of, and don't tell the person next to you, don't shout it out loud, just think to yourself. Think of a random number.
I'll give you 5 seconds. Think of a random number. Okay, time's up. So you will all have a random number in mind. Now, I'm sure each of you know, you'll all have different numbers in mind. I'll ask for a volunteer to tell me what that number is. Yes, Bill? 5. Okay. Question for you then. Why was it 5 and not 4? Because it's your favorite number. Good. Why is it your favorite number? You've been through that age. Is that how old you are at the moment? Oh, you've been through that age. Okay. Good, very good. I'll come back to that. Another volunteer. Yes, okay. 100. Why 100? Why is it not 200?
Because I like 100 more.
Why do you like 100 more? Because what? Because it's more, do you say?
Than less.
More, less
yeah.
Than?
Than 200.
Okay, okay. Any others?
4.
4. Why 4? Why is it not 5?
Because you said a random number. That was the person that came to mind.
Okay. And why was it not 3, maybe? Why was that the first thing that came to mind? Okay, good. Okay. So what I want you guys to think about now is when I asked that girl over there, why was it 5 and not 4? Okay, she said it was her favorite number. And then we asked, why was that? And then she said it's because she's been through that age. For each and every one of you, if you think, why was that number the number you thought of, add one or take one away and think, why was it not that number? There would be a reason for it. The point I'm trying to make is everything is cause and effect. No matter what we see as random in this universe, is still conditioned by a number of things. The reason that you would have selected a particular number, and I'll give you, let me relate to you a story that when I did this experiment with some of the children back in the UK, here's a story that I got. So, there was a boy and a girl, brother and sister, and I asked for a random number from the sister. And she said it was number 7, I think. Yes, she said it was number 7. So I said, why was it number 7? Why was it not number 8? And she said, it was because when I was on my coming here on the way, my brother was talking about something that was 8. Some 8 of something. I don't like him very much. So I went for number 7. Okay? So I said, okay. So why do you not like him very much? And then she said, well, he always comes into my bedroom. I tell him not to. But he always comes into my bedroom, and that really annoys me. Okay, why does he come into your bedroom? And he said, because when he wants to come and, you know, take my pencil away, or take my color pens away, or whatever. Okay, so why does he do that? Well, because he doesn't have his own. Why does he not have his own? So we went all the way back. I kept asking the question, why? I became a little bit annoying, I could understand. But I kept asking the question, why was that the case? Why wasn't it the other? And we kept going back until she said, well, it's because I'm right-handed. So we went all the way back. I know, you know, you're probably, how did it go from there to that? Right? But I just kept annoying her. Okay, and we went back to the person, she said, because I'm right-handed. I said, why were you right-handed? Well, because, you know, I was laid down in my cot in a certain way at home, right? And my mother always approached me from the right-hand side. Okay? And she would always come and approach me from that side. And, you know, sometimes when people would come and give me things, it would always be towards my right hand. I was like, okay, so why was that? It's because the cot was laid that way. What if the cot had been laid the other way?
And then the question was, well, why was it not like that? It's because, you know, their house is such a, it was in such a way that the cock that they got did not fit that way. It would only fit in the other way. So why was the house designed that way? Okay? The point I'm trying to make, and hopefully you can see, is nothing in this world is the way it is because we want it to be that way. Nothing in this world is the way it is because we want it to be that way. Question for you. I'm sure you work really hard for your exams. I don't know what your parents might say, but let's go with that. Okay? You probably work really hard at school to try and, you know, do the best you can in your school tests. Okay? When you pass your school exams, whether that's the midterm or end of term, or your, you know, government exams, why do you think that happens? What are the factors that contribute to that happening? Exactly. It's because you put in the work to do that, right? Now imagine, how many of you here would like to be a doctor? I'm very surprised. We've only got three going up. Oh, four, okay, one of the, okay, actually a few more here as well, right. Now, if I ask your parents a question, how many of you would like your children to be doctors? I think all of them will probably put their hands up. Maybe, okay? But the point being this. If you put in the effort, if you put in the study, if you read all the right books, if you go to all the right classes, if you pass all the right exams, you become a doctor whether you like it or not. I have come across some people who tell me, I want to become a doctor. Oh, because my parents wanted me to. Well, you don't like to do it. No, I don't like it. But you became, yeah, I became a doctor, yeah. I never wanted to. I want to go and become a lawyer. Or I want to be a musician. Or a dancer. Or an athlete. But no, my parents wanted me to become a doctor, and so I became one. What are they telling me there? What they're saying is, what happened in my life was all of the things that needed to come into place for me to become a doctor came into place. And therefore I am to be a doctor. But it had nothing to do with whether I wanted it or not. Whether you want something to happen or not is the same as adding a zero to that equation. Think about when your parents make a dish at home. You know, say, I'm sure you all have had paripu, right? Dal curry? Okay? So what does your mother do when she cooks dal at home? She takes some dal into the container, she wash it, right? Keep it on the cooker, put turmeric powder, put chili powder, put this powder, put that powder, salt, water, polkiri, all of these things, and you would, you know, let it simmer in the fire for a few minutes. What is she doing? What she's doing is she's creating all the right conditions for the paripu, the dal curry, to be created. Whether she likes it to be a dal curry or not has got nothing to do with that. If she does the same things again, but wishing, oh, I wish this didn't become a dal curry. I'm going to add the turmeric powder, I'm going to add the chili powder, I'm going to add umbalakada and this and that and this and that. But I don't want this to be a dal curry. Do you think it's still going to be a dal curry or is it going to be something else? It's still going to be a dal curry. What is she doing there? All she's doing is she's creating all the right conditions for a certain effect to take place. And this is exactly what Shastra Mahan said to us. Whatever you see in this universe, this is cause and effect. Question for you. Think of your best friend. Think of your best friend. And think of your friend at school that you really don't like. No, you don't need to tell me who they are. There's a chance they could be here. Sorry. That's true, yeah. So it's not a friend. It's just someone you really don't like. Okay? So your best friend and someone you really don't like. That's cool. Okay? Now, if something bad happened to your best friend, how would that make you feel? Yes? It would make you feel sad. But what if something really bad happened to this person that you really don't like? At least he's being honest, right? Okay, so you feel good. At least you don't care that much about it. Okay? What's the difference here? So the difference here is, the friend that you really, really like, you have a strong attachment to that. And this person you don't like, you have a dislike towards that person. You don't like them. So you don't really care what happens to them. Okay? So, if something's made you unhappy, it's not the fact that something's happened to a person. Okay, again, go back to your best friend. Imagine your best friend, you know, you at school, you know, you get together, you go out, you know, do all these things, and one day, you break up. You go your own ways. They're no longer your best friend. Okay? Now, they're actually someone you really don't like, because they've said or done something to hurt you, or you've done something to hurt them, and now you don't even talk about each other. You don't like each other's presence. Now what happens if something happens to that person? Something bad happens to that person. You either feel good, or you don't care about it. But when they were your best friend, you cared a lot about that. And that hurt you as well, when they were in pain. So what was the difference? It's the same person. What's changed? When they were your best friend, you had an attachment to them. Shastra Mahansa calls this tanha. This is why I said I'm going to use some terms which may sound new to you, but they're important. Shastra Mahansa calls this tanha. Now, I don't know what you might have learned in Dhammapasala for the word tanha, but I'm going to give you a meaning for you to think about. I'm not necessarily challenging what you've learned. I just want you to think about this. Words that, particularly in Buddhism, each word has a meaning. Have you heard of the word etymology? Do you know what etymology means? So anything that has the phrase ology at the end is a science. So like biology, technology, etc. Okay? Etymology is actually how a word has come into being. What makes up that word? Now, etymology deals with the science of the construction of a word, how a word has come into being. Tanha, the reason tanha is called tanha is, if you break that word up, it's tanha. Tanha becomes tanha. What is tan? Tanak kiyanne mokada? A place. Right? Ha kyan ha veno kyan mokada? Ha kyan o kyan adhasa teno duwa? Ha veno kyan attach veno kyan. To be attached. So, if you are attached to something, that is tanha. What Lord Buddha says is, tanha e jayati soko. Tanha vahinda dukha api veno. It's tanha that creates the suffering. So, going back to your friends, your best friend, who when they were your best friend, and now they're no longer your best friend, it's the same person, you are the same person, what's changed? Your attachment that you had towards that person. So when something bad happened to them while they were your friend, you really didn't like it because of the tanha. But when something good, when something bad happened to them when they were not your friend, you don't care about it. So, going back to the point we talked about before, if it's the things around us that make us happy or make us sad, well then, every time, and also remember we talked about how things are causes, cause and effect, how things are all conditions, okay? So, your random number, there was a reason why you came up with that random number, okay? If you attach yourself to something, but then the conditions for that changes, what happens then? The attachment change. So, example, say you have a drawing, you've drawn a really nice picture, you've colored it, okay? And this is something you're going to take to an art competition,
Okay, so it's next day, you spend a lot of time drawing it, and it's now ready to be taken. You wake up the next morning, and you see your Malli or Nangi, or you know, if you have a small younger brother or sister, they've come and spilled some water on it. How would that make you feel? It would make you feel really sad. Yes. Okay? So that would make you feel really sad. But what is it that caused you to be sad? I mean, think about, you know, what was it that created that picture? All of the conditions that you put in, you know, drawing the circles in a certain way, you know, drawing those lines in a certain way, coloring it in a certain way, all of those conditions gave rise to that picture. Okay? And then you attach yourself to it. Oh, this is my picture, I really, really like it. It looks really nice, and I'm going to take it to the competition tomorrow. Okay? Or say the competition got cancelled. Oh, it's not going to happen now. It's going to happen next year. That would make you feel really disappointed. This is what happens. When you attach yourself to something, you've got to get ready to be disappointed. How many of you have cars at home? Or your mother or father owns a car? Okay, majority of you. What do you think is one of the first things they do before they put the car out onto the road?
Wash it.
Wash it, okay. There's also something called insurance. Again, hopefully, I mean, clearly you've not had the pain of having to go through that. But it's coming, trust me. Okay, you have to get insurance. Why do you get insurance? So insurance is something that covers you in the event that your car is damaged. So what are they doing? They're preparing themselves for when the conditions for the car to be the way it is changes. That's what insurance is. The moment you put the car out, you know, you don't know what might happen. Another car might come and hit you. Someone might jump in front of you as you're driving down the street, right? That might damage the car. It might hurt the person. And then you have to pay for it. The reason you take insurance is so you don't have to pay for it. The insurance company pays for it. But you pay the insurance company for that. It's a premium you pay for them. Okay? But think about this. Why am I talking about insurance here? It's because we take insurance out for our cars, but we don't take insurance out for our minds. When you set an expectation on something, you are setting yourself up for disappointment. Why? Because things are conditions and effects. It's a cause and effect. Everything is cause and effect. When the causes change, the effect changes. But when you attach yourself to whatever that effect is, and the causes change in the background, the effect has now changed. And whatever you attached yourself to before, you don't have any longer. And so you're disappointed. But this is the problem. This is what Shastra Mahansa says. When you set yourself up with expectations, ensure you expect disappointment. Take out an insurance policy for your minds. And that insurance policy is the philosophy that Shastra Mahansa taught us. Anicca Dukkha Anatta. And that is to understand that this is the nature of the world. Because when you expect it, what is it that causes disappointment? What causes disappointment? Exactly, what is that called? Expectations. So disappointment is when you... So you say that out loud, Buddha?
So when you want something to happen, but it doesn't.
Did you all hear that? When you want something to happen, but it doesn't happen, that's what causes disappointment. As an expectation doesn't realize itself, you have a disappointment. So what if you expected that to go wrong? What happens then? Are you disappointed? If you expect something to go wrong, and then it goes wrong, well, you're not disappointed because that was the expectation. This is what Shastra Mahansa says. Realize that everything in this world is cause and effect. When the causes change, the effect changes. When your mother is cooking that dal curry, no matter how much she expects that dal curry, if she adds a little bit more salt to it than she normally does, you're probably not going to be able to eat it. She'll serve it to the guests, the guest comes along, they start eating and they spew it out. What is this? She wanted to cook a nice dish that everyone in the family could share, but you can't eat it now because the causes have changed.
You added a little bit more salt, a little bit more of this, or a little less of that. Something really simple. You don't need lots to change for the effect to change. A very small cause, changing the cause can change the effect. But when it's when you attach yourself to it, that's where the problem is. But if you understand that as soon as the causes change, the effect changes. Let me give you an example that you will be able to relate to in your lives pretty soon, I imagine. In life, we go through relationships. Okay? So you see your parents in relationships. Okay? Your relatives. Chances are, as you grow older, you will get into a relationship with somebody. Okay? That could be a girl or a boy. What is that relationship a result of? Think about this. Think really long and hard, because this is usually a point of frustration for your parents, just as much as it is for you. Because when you come home crying, Aneta Aati Aneyamana Karabudhe Balanagi, or Aneta Aati, look at what she did to me, she left me. Aneta Aati, or Aneyami, my girlfriend left me. It's going to cause disappointment for you, and it's going to cause disappointment for your parents as well. But what is a relationship? A relationship exists for as long as you can give each other what you expect from that relationship. So if what you really like about the girl or the boy that you get into a relationship is the color of their hair, or the way they speak, or the way they give you things to make you happy, what if that stops? What if they change the color of their hair? What if it's really simple things? What if they say something to you and that hurts you? Because your expectation was something else. You're disappointed. What you need to understand though is a relationship only exists for as long as there are conditions for that relationship to exist. Otherwise, why do people get divorced and go their own ways? People, you know, I've read stories in the UK where, you know, young couples, they've gotten together with each other, they've spent a long time getting to know each other, you know, years and years, 10, 15 years getting to know each other, get married, the next day they get divorced. And you wonder, what? What were you thinking? Why? Because that relationship was based on a number of conditions. As soon as the condition, then it could have been something like, you know, I don't like what you said there. And the other person goes, what do you mean you don't like what I said there? I've been saying that for forever. And then she goes, well, you know, now you're my husband or now you're my wife. You shouldn't be saying that to me. Not particularly in front of my friends. And then the other person goes, well, if I've said this to you for this long, what's wrong with me saying it again? Now, you know, immediately you're seeing a conflict there. Why? Because whatever the conditions were for you to be together have now changed. And the result is going to be either one person changes again to adapt to the other person, or they go their separate ways. The reason I'm telling you this is because you're probably going to find yourself in this situation. And when you do, think about this. A relationship only exists for as long as there are conditions for that relationship to last. As soon as those conditions change, that's the end of that relationship. And that is the same with everything else. Why do you think they let you come into school? Because you behave yourself, you do your homework on time, you respect your teachers. What do you think is going to happen if you stop doing those things? They're going to kick you out of school. Are they not? At least they're going to give you detention a few times before they kick you out. Why? Because there are certain conditions that you must fulfill to remain in school, to be regarded as a student that obeys the discipline at school. As soon as that changes, the result changes. So if you attach yourself to that the result, you're going to be disappointed. Okay, so we've talked a lot about cause and effect. I know some of these concepts will be very new to you. I wish we had more sessions like this to talk about this. But it's just unfortunate. I think we have very little time. I mean, what your parents have asked me to do to come to you and talk to you you're already half an hour over our allotted time. To talk to you about what Shastra Mahansa spent 45 years trying to explain, was never a feat that I was going to achieve. Perhaps we might get another opportunity. I don't know. If the conditions are right, the course will happen. And the effect will come into play. Okay? But let me pause there for a second and see if you have any questions. Because before we move any further, if we have time, it's important to check that you understand what we've talked about so far. Questions?
To what extent can the individual change the conditions?
That's a very good question. To what extent can the individual change the conditions? An individual can change conditions to a large extent. I know the reason you're asking me that question is because then again you feel like you're in control of that situation and it's not just, you know, it's not something outside of your control. However, what do you need to influence a condition? You need to think about it. You need to be influenced yourself to make an influence. What is it that influenced you? It could be things and it could be something someone has said. For example, today could be influential to you. It might influence the way you treat your parents. It might influence the way you conduct your life from today. Potentially, I don't know. Or you might think, what a waste of time that was. Whatever. Remember, I'm not expecting anything in return from you. This was a favor for you. Okay? But it's conditions that cause for you to think in a certain way, which then you go and make an effect on a certain entity, which then gives you a different result. Does that make sense at all? But please, ask me it in a different way that didn't quite answer the question. Okay. I think that was a very good question. I'd like to add another example to that, just to make it a little bit more clear. So, how many of you here like football? You call it football here or soccer? Soccer? Football? What's that? Thank you very much. See, I didn't know that. You learn something new every day. Here's a teacher. You, sir, are my teacher. So football and soccer are different. Okay, who likes football? Today? Okay, we have someone there. Okay, two in the audience like football. So imagine you're in the middle of a game. There's a net. You want to kick the ball into it. Now, there are many conditions that need to come into place for a result, which is a goal. Okay? And the player that's running towards the net, you know, kicking the ball along, is thinking, well, I'm going to influence this. I'm influenced. You know, I am the one that's going to make this choice. I'm going to kick this goal and I'm going to get a goal. And I'm going to help my team win. So, that is all dependent on me. I'm the master, I'm in control. Now, what are the conditions that need to come into place for that ball to be kicked at the right time, at the right speed, for no other players to be in between for this ball to get into the goal? What about the training, the amount of training that he or she has had? What about the weather? How damp it is? What about how wet the grass is? What about if someone else jumps in the middle? What about the flow of the wind? Is that not going to have an influence? So there's, you know, how many conditions are there that we can't necessarily influence? It's quite easy for us to think, yeah, I'm going to influence this. And there are some things that we can influence. But even that influence you're making on it has been influenced by something else. So even if you're thinking, actually, I'm going to use this strategy here and not that, I'm going to kick this ball in a certain direction. I'm going to use my left leg instead of my right leg. That choice was influenced by something. It could be that, you know, for all the training you've done on the pitch, that's your best leg. So what was that influenced by? How you were laid down in the court. Whether you were left or right-handed. You know, again, it keeps going back, keeps going back. Where do you stop this? This is why, you know, if we were to take one thing, just one thing, you know, and say this tissue, why is this tissue a certain way? Why is it crushed in a certain way? Why not another way? You could go back
years and years and years talking about why did that happen? Okay, so why did that happen? And why did the other thing happen? You could never end. But this is why I feel I'm helpless. I have no guarantee about my own life. Because my life is conditioned by a number of different things. There are lots of causes that give the result, which is I am alive. But I am alive this moment, the next moment, the next moment. You know how when people talk about death, and they say, you know, and you know, you'll hear your parents talk about this, and they'll go, yeah, they're doing well, they're doing all right. Shouldn't you be surprised? What? They're still okay? Or should you be surprised when they say, actually no, my grandmother passed away. Ah, okay. That can't be surprising. Why? How many conditions do you think need to come into play for someone to be alive? How fast your heart beats? How many blood vessels do you think are inside you? Okay? And how many blood vessels do you think need to be clotted? Do you know what a blood clot is? Yeah? How many blood vessels do you think that needs to be clotted before someone dies? Or gets a heart attack? How many heart attacks does one need to go through before they, you know, that's their last one? You know, you might have heard of stories where people, you know, just go about their own business and then before you know it, they're gone. How many things need to come into play for someone to be alive? This is why I'm saying I have no guarantee that I'm going to be alive, you know, by the time I walk out of this hole. So if I am so, you know, if I'm so doubtful about my existence and I know what I need to do to end this rebirth cycle, is that something I'm willing to wait for another day to do? Or is that something I need to do now? See, guys, the thing is, your parents are in a similar situation. At least you have the luxury of life, a number of years left in you. You know, you're a youth. Okay, so we have between the ages of 5 and 20-odd. What about your parents? They could be in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, some maybe even in their 70s. I mean, you might feel I'm quite youthful. You know, provided nothing happens to me, I'll be alive till I'm 60. And this is why I said, I feel envious of you guys that you have actually listened to this Dhamma at such a young age. When I was your age, I had different plans. My parents didn't know better. Didn't know any better. They didn't bring me to a place like this to listen to this Dhamma. Because I didn't have the conditions that gave me that result. I hadn't done enough good karma to earn that merit, to earn that result. But you have. In your past births, you must have helped someone to attain Nibbana. You must have helped someone to understand the Dhamma. And today you are reaping the result of that. You know, I'm under no delusion that for some of you, a lot of what we've just talked about, maybe, you know, it will take you a while to understand what we're talking about. You know, it will take you a while to digest this. Particularly, you know, the very young people here. Because some of these can be, you know, they're new concepts, it's a new way of looking at life. But for your parents, who've been listening to this Dhamma for a long time, a lot of them have come to the realization, you know, I am in such a late stage in my life, I have no guarantee I'm going to be around for the next few years, because my brother passed away, my mother passed away, my father passed away, and they, you know, they were half my age. When that happened to them, how long do you think, you know, do I think I'm going to be around? And they want to, you know, some of them want to take that next step, the next step that I said I was prepared to take, to become a monk or to become a nun. Why become a monk? What's the point? Well, the point is, all the things that we talked about, the things that they have to do today for survival, the things that they have to do to survive, like do a job, earn money, pay bills, okay, drive a car, get car insurance, All of these things that you have to do. You've got no choice. If you want to live a lay life, you have to do these things. There's no other way. Because that's the way the world has, you know, that's the way the world is formed. You've got to fight for your existence. It's a fight for survival. The thing is, when you do that, you have very little time to spend your life to understand Shastra Mohan says Dharma and to apply that to your lives. But you do get the time to do that full time, except for when you're having some food. Well, actually, that's a lie, because you can do it while you're having food as well. But they can do this full time when they become a monk. They want to make sure that they don't go into the apayas. You know, think about the example I gave you at the start. This mother that told me, I am worried. I'm really worried because I killed lots of ants to protect my son when he was a baby. I'm really worried what might happen to me. Well, you know what Shastra Mahatse has said? Shastra Mahatse said, if you do something to someone, the payback is going to be very similar. How many times, how many mosquitoes have you squashed? You're probably counting. I didn't ask the question, have you squashed a mosquito? Because that's almost a pointless question to ask. I've done it. I've killed ants. I've killed mosquitoes. But I know the vipaka for that karma is coming. It's coming. If you squash a mosquito, that's how you are bound to die. You'll either have, you know, you'll probably be crushed to death. Maybe while you're in a car. A container falls on top of your car as you're driving along, and that crushes you to death. You think that's going to be fun? If you do something to someone, the payback is going to be very similar. But this is the thing. We've all committed sins. And these things we will have to pay for. And this is why your parents are thinking, well, you know, I've done so much for my children. I've done, you know, all in the hope that it would bring them good and, you know, leave them in a happy place. However, I've committed all these sins and I'm now going to suffer for it. Before that happens, I need to stop this rebirth cycle. Because it's only if you go through the rebirth cycle, will you be born again to then be subject to the vipaka of those karma. So I need to stop this. And to do that, they need the time. They need the time to focus on that. And you need to help them to do that. So whether it's at home, you know, start with little things. You know, you don't have to walk up to them and go today, Amitati Hari Gila Maharaj. You don't have to do that. Start with little things. If you can help do the dishes at home, do that. You know, tell Ammi and Tati, Ammi Tati Gila Adavunam Banam Kahana. Go and listen to them Dhamma, because there's lots of this on YouTube. The Dhamma that we talk about. Ammi Tati, you go and listen to Dhamma, I'll do the dishes for today. Or I'll clean the house today. You go and listen to Dhamma. Or I'll make my own sandwich today to take to school. You go and listen to Dhamma. You know, you do something for yourself. You've spent your entire life doing things for me and my brother or my sister. Now go and do something for yourself. This is the only thing you can give back to your parents. The gift of Dhamma. And if you can't preach the Dhamma, at least allow them the time to go and take the Dhamma from wherever they can and put it into their lives. So try and do that. And one day when you come to a realization, actually, perhaps I need to do the same thing. You know, I don't want to go through the same process, you know, studying, going to school, going to university, finding a job. Trust me, I've done it. And there's no satisfaction to gain out of it. Otherwise, why would I be going away today? I told you, I've got a good job, I've got a home, I've got a car, I've got all the things that you could possibly imagine. In that, you know, that people seek in a good, prosperous, happy life. But that doesn't satisfy me. Because I'm not happy enough just to be happy when things around me make me happy and be disappointed when the things around me disappoint me. I'm not going to settle for that. I want to be happy no matter what happens around me. And that I can only get through Shastra Mohan Singh. If I practice the Dhamma, apply what I have learned, understand this concept of Anicca, which is everything is the cause and effect, When the cause is changed, the effect changes. And therefore, I'm not going to attach myself to that effect which exists now, because that's going to change. Right? My wife is not going to be as young as she is today forever. She's not as pretty as she is as she was when I got married to her. Which is the truth. She probably doesn't find me as attractive as when we got married. Today, she and I, we both decided to go into the monastery to become a monk and a nun. Why? Because we've come to the understanding, we spend a life, you know, our parents have gone through this before us, our grandparents before us, and go back any number of generations as you want. And now, you know, go and speak to your parents, ask them, Amitati, you've spent all your life trying to make yourself happy, trying to make us happy, are you happy today? Are you satisfied today? And ask him, you know, see what answer you get back from them. If they tell you, yes, Pute, yeah, this is, I'm really happy. Nothing ever disappoints me, I'm perfectly fine. Then do as they say. If, however, they tell you, I have done all this so far, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, and yet even tomorrow I need to go to work. Why? Because I still have this, I still have to pay a mortgage, I still have to do this, I still have to do that, I have my parents to look after, I have to do this, that and the other, and I'm still not happy about it, I'm still disappointed, and I'm still not quite content with life. Then ask them the question, do you want me to go through the same thing? And come to your age, and then come to that realization? Or do you want me to try something different? Then they'll help you come to an answer. And if that answer is yes, Dwe Pute, what you understood today, we weren't able to understand until we are the age we are today. You've been so fortunate to understand what you understand now at such a young age. We want to help you to find a different way, a different path, to find a happiness that is forever lasting, that is not dependent on the things that happen around you. Then let them make that change in your lives, and you help them in return by doing the things that I said. Take on some of the things at home. Allow them the time, because that's the one thing that they don't have. They don't have the time because they've spent their entire lives on you. Then they still do. Every moment that they're awake, they spend on you. So give them some time back. Do the things that you can at home. Release them from some of those duties and responsibilities. If not the duties, at least the responsibilities. Help each other out. That's the biggest gift that you can give them. It's not looking after them when they're old. You know, I mean, certainly do that. But there is something you can do for them right now. Help them do that. Any other questions? Yes, please.
When you were talking about the apaya, if you kill an animal, you turn to it and you feel the pain.
Exactly. If you kill an animal, that could take you to a pyre, and you would feel the pain that that animal suffered when you killed it. That's what you said, right? Yeah. And, you know, think about it. Have you never killed an animal? An insect? Good. If you haven't. The thing is, I mean, you know, you're still quite young, and perhaps you haven't had the opportunity to do that. When I say, what I mean by that is the miss opportunity, or you haven't been in a situation where you are having to do it. You know, say if you were sat somewhere and your mother or your father sees a snake approaching you, do you think they'll just let the snake come and attack you? They'll either take you and run away as far as they can, or they're going to come and hurt the animal. If they go and hurt the animal, they will do a pina and they will do a power. They will do a good deed and a bad deed, a sin as well. The good deed will be saving another human being. The bad will be killing that animal. What have they done? They've just sacrificed themselves for you. at the moment of their death, if that deed, killing that animal, is what comes into their mind, they will be born in a place, in a pyre, where they're going to suffer for it. And they've done that for whom? For you. So they, you know, this is what I'm saying. They're committing their entire life for you. You know, they're giving you a gift that you can't put a price tag on. There's no one in this entire planet that will do anything more than your parents for you, except Shastramansi. So don't be a traitor. Don't be a traitor to Shastramansi. And how can you not be a traitor to Shastramansi? To understand the Dhamma, because that's what he did. He spent his entire life trying to teach us this Dhamma, trying to teach me this Dhamma. I can't be a traitor to my Shastramansi. And I can't be a traitor to my parents. And neither should you. How are we doing for time? It's 3:30. So I think at the start I mentioned in the UK when we get together like this, parents bring their children for about an hour and then they come back in an hour and say, it's not finished yet, and we go on for about 2-3 hours. It's because how can I try and explain to you something so profound in such a short time? It's just completely undoable. However, hopefully I've given you something to think about. What I'm going to suggest to you is, I've asked you to do a few things. Can you remind me, what are the few things I've asked you to do today? Yes, well done though. On the internet, go and search for Apaya, ask your parents for help and permission maybe to do that, and then, you know, watch with them, and then you will have questions. What's happening here? And then they'll explain to you. Okay, do that. Second thing?
Help your parents.
Exactly, Bhutai. Help your parents, release them from some of the things that they are doing for you right now. Simple things, cleaning your bedroom, making your bed. Why do they have to do that for you? If they're doing so much for you already, they've given their entire life to you. Can you not make your own bed? They're prepared to go to Apaya for you. Can you not make your own bed? Do that for your parents. Wash the dishes if you can. Sweep the house if you can. And when you do that, tell them, Ammi Tati, you know, you see them doing the work at home. Ammi Tati, Mangoka Karana. I do this. You go and listen to some Dhamma, or you go and do some meditation. Because otherwise, what are they doing for themselves? Nothing. Because their whole life is committed to you. Okay? So that's the second thing. Anything else? What's the other thing? Remember what I said, when your parents look at the newspapers, watch TV? Yes? Exactly. Right now, there are conditions, you know, you just not have the opportunity where, or the situation where, you know, your parents could be killed or murdered by you. Take that worry away from them. That's not so much to ask for. Give your parents the assurance that they're never going to die by your hand. And you can only do that by becoming a soul Dhamma. For that, you need to listen to this Dhamma. Now, I know we've only been able to talk very little today. It feels like a few hours, but I've only covered very little. However, in the UK, we get together like this with children your age, and we talk about this Dhamma. What we haven't started to do yet is actually try and, you know, connect with other children from around the world. So we can start doing that on Skype. Okay? So speak to your parents. If they believe that this is of benefit to you, and to them as well, ask them, you know, Amitati, can I also join some of those Deshana? And we can come together, we can talk more like this over Skype, and you can listen to it, you can ask your questions, and try and make a difference to your life. Because we don't know when our last breath is. I have no guarantee I'm going to walk out this whole alive. I don't think you have either. But what you have today is a gift this human birth, which is so precious, you can't even believe it. You can't imagine. But make the most of it. Okay. I think there's another program after this, particularly for the adults. So we'll bring this deshana to an end. Think about the things we talked about. Think about the things that you promised to do today. Make sure you do them. Your parents will hold you responsible. They'll come and ask you, what did you promise to do? Have you done them? Okay? And try and see if you can connect over Skype to these deshana in future. Okay? Okay, third one, sir.